WNST Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're into college football season. It's almost college basketball season. I want to thank John Maroon and the folks at Maroon PR for inviting me to an incredible Cal Ripken Senior Foundation event. Tip off. I had Tark Aronson on. I had also Frank Collada on a couple weeks ago on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We did that up at Cooper's. And then I attended on Monday, and like all this college basketball stuff's coming, college football's here. And I've been doing a lot of NFL, and we had the Orioles and all this, but I haven't done a lot with the Terps being really good out of the gate football-wise. And when I think Terps football, and I think Terps basketball, and I see Gary Williams on stage, and then this guy gets into the Hall of Fame at his own place. If my Dundalk High Hall of Fame t-shirt would have been clean, Mike Ashley, I would have it on right now. But I'm repping Window Nation, our partners here, 86690Nation. Get some windows. That's a good shirt to have on. But I'm shocked. What do you get when you get into the Radford Hall of Fame? Dude, I watched this legendary weekend. You've been a friend of mine for a couple decades here. This was a beautiful thing to witness a friend sort of take a bow, because you love you some Radford, bro.
I do. Radford has meant so much to me. My 24-minute speech, because some guys timed me, because I was supposed to go 8, but it's like I told him, you know, all the other people had been there 4 years. I was there 17 years, you know, not all as an undergraduate. Radford's where I went to be a journalism major. It was just the right size. I got into everything, and even
without you go to high school, where are you from?
Salem High School in Salem, Virginia. For basketball aficionados, it's the alma mater of Richard Morgan, Mr. Excitement at UVA back in the 80s. We also had I was the first senior class at Salem High School. Before that, I went to Andrew Lewis, and our claim to fame there was Billy Sample, who played for the Texas Rangers for a long time. Great football wide receiver. So that's where all that came from. But Radford was foundational for me. I didn't even know what sport. You know, it's funny you mentioned John Maroon. I know guys like that from my long work in the public relations in sports, and at Radford, Virginia Tech, and Marshall. I was a consultant at Marshall, so I did have a long background in that. Then I got married and moved up here to the greater Northern Virginia area, where it's Little Abner here on the Beltway, because I was always a small town guy, and became a freelance sports writer, and that's how we met. I got on the Terrapin beat, but it's a weird existence because most of you guys are in Maryland and I'm down here in Virginia media, but making the long drive up there to cover the Terps all these years. Now I'm working for Baltimore's press box, those great people there, and I'm kind of back to my sports information roots. I did big time football, Ralph Regan. I did big time basketball, Gary Williams, and all these years with the Terps. I was lucky to get on. I went to, you know, I covered the Final Four team, national championship team, Brenda Freeze. I was there at the, when they won the national championship, the women, Orange Bowl, Ralph Regan, ACC championship. I got on it. It's such a magical time, and was here for all that and thrilled to be a part of all that too. But, you know, hey, my roots are small college, you know, I know you want to talk about some of the things affecting that too, but it was a great weekend for me at Radford. They love my son-in-law, who's 32 years old, I was going to say a computer nerd. He's actually a software engineer that makes more money than God. It's unbelievable, and congrats to him and my wife. But he made the comment that in my speech I mentioned more people than he's ever met. And you that's what PR guys do, right?
So. Well, you know what? I've been a broadcaster my whole life in journalism, and I'm a writer, and I'm writing my writings, a columnist out of Baltimore Positive at this point. But man, when they put me in the Dundalk Hall of Fame, I didn't have note cards. I didn't like write some big thing. I kind of got up and winged it, and I got emotional. I should have had more notes. Like, I really feel stupid for not being more prepared, which my journalism teacher back in high school would have said, of course you're going to get in the Hall of Fame. You're going to come back here and wing your Hall of Fame speech. But like, you put effort into it. I really, like, I've known you a long time. I just thought it was the coolest honor. And I think for anyone who does this kind of work, right? Like, I'm famously in this fight with the Ravens after having been a cheerleader for them for 26 years and being shat upon or whatever. But I think anytime you stand in front of something you love, that's sports, community-based, which is, you know, why I got into the Orioles, because it said Baltimore on it, and it was the Orioles, and they were fighting for my town, right? Then it was the Colts, and they screwed us, and the Mayflowers came, and then the Ravens came. But like Radford, and when I have Googled this before, I've had fun at your expense, the little river that runs through the city down there. I had a friend that went to college there. Hello, John. And like, I look at it, you know, there's like three grocery stores, a couple stop signs, a little park, and probably looks a little bit like Salisbury if you pass through it, maybe smaller. I'm not sure because I haven't been to Radford, but it's near Blacksburg. But like, you spend your whole life in that sort of area, loving the sports teams, meeting every kid on the volleyball team, every kid on whatever sports. I don't even know what sports Radford had, right? But the basketball, and sometimes you try to, you're good enough, and but you represented that for a long time. For them to come back two decades later and say you're a really important part of the history, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I just think it is. So I wanted to have you on to talk about it. That's all.
Well, especially, you know, having been in sports information, public relations, I wasn't with any one team. We actually, when I was there, we weren't even a part of the athletic department. We were in the public relations office, which actually is a pretty good model that maybe more colleges should consider, because there's a lot of people making decisions in athletics that don't seem to be all the best decisions to be making for athletics. So maybe a little outside influence would help things. And here's another interesting thing. When I first got up here, I used to tell people, we hired Oliver Purnell as our basketball coach in 1989. He came down from Maryland. And then a year later, he brought Ron Bradley, who both longtime Lefty Drizel assistants. And then, of course, things went a little bit south here over all that. And I always called myself the player to be named later at Maryland in the Oliver Purnell, Ron Bradley trade.
Took you 20 years to get there?
Yeah. A long trade. Future considerations there. That's what that was. And I learned so much dealing with those guys. Oliver, oh, he was such a PR mogul. He was a great coach to work with from that standpoint. He took us to another level at that. I remember his press conference. I had to come up, take him back to the office and get him on the phone with the Washington Post, who I didn't have much dealings with at Radford University at the time, and the Baltimore Sun, which included Don Marcus, who later became a good friend of mine on the beat at Maryland. So
good,
it's
professor, kind of, as we call them around here. Professor,
right?
Marcus.
It's kind of funny how these things worked out. But yeah, it's been I had so much fun on the Maryland beat, but not as much. You know, anybody that's been around college kids for a living, it's just, it keeps you young. You know, I used to joke as I went as a bachelor guy there for so long that you know, the landscape around me, they stay the same age, and I keep getting older and older. So, my future wife saw my name in the alumni magazine. We were college friends, and probably would have dated back in the day, except I had a girlfriend back home in Salem, just down the road, 45 minutes. And as a student worker famously said in a meeting one time when I was doing assignments for my students over the weekend, and a kid asked for the weekend off. He said, "Hey, my girlfriend's coming in from back home, and can I have the weekend off?" And I had a senior whose chin just hit the table, and he went, "You got a girlfriend back home? Man, that's like bringing sand to the beach." And that was Radford, 4-1, girls to guys, when I got there. And
say 4-1, girls to guys.
Right, but Nestor, just a couple years before that, it had been 8-1. In fact, when they went co-ed back in 72, started men's athletics in 74, but 72, it was 28 guys and about 2,000 girls. And those guys, there's a picture of them standing on the steps of the Animal House kind of dorm, the freshman guys' dorm, and they have got, well, they got, first they've got those wide, crazy ties, paisley ties with striped jackets and all kinds of plaid pants. And they all look like that with hair out all over the place. Everybody's got this early 70s guy hair, and they've all got the greatest grins on their face you'd ever see. But truth be told, having been a guy who wrote the history book of Radford, the last one they did, and interviewing people from back then, the girls didn't like the guys being there. They wanted, you know, you see this all over. You know, I remember reverse at VMI when girls were admitted there. The girls didn't want the guys there. And there's some horrible stories about these poor guys trying to organize a panty raid and the girls soaping the steps in the dorm. So these guys were falling on these hard steps, about to kill themselves. The girls would like bump them off the sidewalk.
What's a boy going to do down in Radford other than chase girls or crickets? Come on, man.
Well, look, you know, I left Radford for a couple of years, went to Virginia Tech where I worked in the athletic department there.
And that's not far, right? That's right around the corner a little bit?
It's 20-minute drive.
20 minutes, okay.
But let me tell you, Castle Coliseum, right next to Lane Stadium, and working in athletics, and I needed my time there so I would know a little bit about football when I got here. Although I quickly figured out Ron Vanderlyn wasn't getting it done and Ralph Friedgen was getting it done. So I
Frank Beamer was definitely getting it done right then.
Right. Frank Beamer was one of the last hires there before I went back to Radford. But what I'm saying about the Radford thing was, I'm telling you, hanging around Castle Coliseum, all I saw was big football players, tall basketball players, all these male athletes, some female athletes, but you know, they had the opposite deal. There were so many more men there that they didn't have to bring their A game every day like girls at Radford did. This is terrible stuff to be talking about, but I'm just saying it was, it was a rude awakening. At Radford, every day we all made a point to go over to this one guy's office because he was right next to the campus mail there, and that's where everybody came through to get their mail and go to lunch right before we would go to lunch. And we called it the parade. You just wanted to be over there and see the parade because there were so many good-looking girls.
See, why did I know this in 82? Where the hell were you, Ashley? Mike Ashley's here from Press Box. He's been my friend a long, long time. Excuse me. I mean, Hall of Famer Mike Ashley is here. Just want to make sure I get that right. I was putting the – so I got the Radford Highlanders up here, and I do this whenever I have you on. And we'll get to some Terps and have a little bit of fun, talk a little NIL. I saw Gary Williams telling old Joe Smith and Keith Booth stories about kicking Georgetown's ass on Black Friday. And John Thompson at the Caps. I was at that game, by the way. Like, great, great memory. Thank you, Gary, and for being a part of that. But Radford – three tournament appearances there, four. Give me the whole like background on, because it went D1 when you were there, right? Or like that, or no?
They did. When I got there, they were technically almost unaffiliated, and then it became NAIA. They were playing NAIA District 19, where the basketball powerhouse was Philadelphia Textile.
Okay. I remember that. I remember I typed some Philadelphia Textile scores in at the News American in 85,
Sweet.
86.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And totally. one of our big rivals, actually, during that period, as we opened our new arena, the Debman Center, with the air-supported roof like the Carrier Dome, which was big deal for us because we'd played in about a 900-800-seat arena, gym on campus. And now we're moving into this beautiful big building and got so much publicity from that. I learned a lot about how to do PR campaigns from that experience. But we played UDC, and at that time, UDC had Earl Jones, 7'1" from Spingarn High School, originally from West Virginia, had come here to DC to play against better competition. They also had a kid named Michael Britt, 6'7", just absolutely lithe forward, 6'7", well over 95 pounds. But man, could that kid jump. He had the best dunk I've ever seen in college. And unfortunately, against Radford. But
so he turned sideways, you missed him.
Right. Well, we were playing at UDC one game, and Earl Jones, they were in a 2-3 zone, okay? 2-3 zone. Earl Jones in the middle of 2-3 zone. Basketball people will understand this. 2-3 zone, and we had a guy take a foul line extended jumper, okay? And the guy in the middle of the 2-3 was so long, Earl Jones blocked that shot just in a zone, just blocked a jump shot, mid-range jump shot. The ball bounces out the half court. Michael Britt, with those long legs, I think took like three steps and scooped it up at midcourt. And you know, you're already going, oh my gosh. And then he takes like two dribbles. Now he's at about the foul line. He jumps from just inside the foul line, comes in and tomahawk dunks it. And he's coming so fast and so hard. As he dunked, he had to duck his head so he didn't hit it on the backboard. And those wide baselines, all us basketball people know, you know how wide those things are, you know, on the ends especially. He came down almost completely out of that. So he jumped from inside the foul line, through the basket almost, comes out down on the other side of the baseline where he landed like a cat on his feet and put his hands down to catch himself. And the their mascot, the UDC Firebird, was right there, and it was really just the San Diego Chicken outfit, same colors and everything. The chicken takes a charge. The Firebird takes the charge and falls back on its back and just starts doing the Bluto on the floor, you know, shaking. And that place just went crazy. A close game was about to not be close anymore. Our coach couldn't call timeout fast enough. And it is. It's the best dunk I've ever seen live.
Better than Fish to Save Pittsburgh?
Well, for me, you know, I didn't see that one live. So
yeah. Mike Ashley is here from Press Box. Has always been around the terms. By the way, Philadelphia Textile. I had to Google this, Mike, because this is the way I roll, right? Thomas Jefferson University now, private research university in Philadelphia. Philadelphia Textile is now Thomas Jefferson. But Radford University is still the Highlanders, and Mike Ashley is still a Hall of Famer. All right, look, so the reason I even thought of you or came up with you is I thought I have to have you on. You're going into the Hall of Fame with Facebook friends. You're having all this stuff happen. The Terps are winning on the football field, right? Other than the Michigan. I mean, they played Michigan tough, right?
That has been fun to watch.
They got a great quarterback. And then I'm with Gary Williams and Kevin Willard telling stories down at the Cal Ripken thing at the Marriott downtown on Monday. And I thought, I want to have Mike on just to see what you're doing, what you're covering, what's going on. This whole NIL, I mean, they might as well be speaking hieroglyphics to me. I'm trying to figure it out. And one of the things, as I sat there watching Geezer's Geese and watched Jay Wright turn his championship ring and fix his hair and suit, have a good time, you know, like I'm thinking, I'm one of these guys. I don't know that I'm really interested in pay for play Terps or pay for play sports or pay. Like, I don't know what college sport. I'm trying to figure it out for Towson, for Coppin. You know, we run the Coppin games here, UMBC. I saw coaches there. I saw people there. And I don't know that anybody understands the unforeseen circumstances that are about to happen, right? Like, things are about to change in some. Yeah, everything was glacial for a long, long time in baseball, sports. Right. You know, they're out there 5 years ago dribbling, making billions of dollars for everybody, but the kids dribbling. I've been railing about that. You and I bitched about that for 15 years. Every time we get together and break our brackets, then I'm like, bracket, you're making money. Mike's making money. Nessa, everybody, Jim Nance is, everybody's making money, but the kid dribbling's not making money. That never made any sense to me. And now they've done it. Genie's out of the bottle. I just don't know what's going to happen here. Wait, give me a little primer as an old guy to an old guy, and I've done no work on this, right? I've been working on elections, fighting with the Ravens over credentials. You're a communications guy. You understand all that. So I've had all this going on, but this NIL, like, prime me. Just tell me a little bit about that. What the way to understand it.
Well, it's all changing underneath us. And, you know, it's I guess it's like the super PACs in politics. You know, they're trying to get, the money out of politics. And now it's come to this level in college. And look, I don't begrudge some of these kids getting more money. But, you know, it's so different from what the basic core of college athletics should be about. And again, you're talking to a guy that has worked in it and around it for over 40 years. And
you put student athlete together 40 years ago. And as a communications guy, as a PR, you would never refer to it as anything other than student athlete, right?
Well, you're right. Right. But Nestor, I'm also a kid that came to college and maxed out Virginia Education Loan Authority loans all the time, the whole time. And now I wasn't lucky that I lost my dad when I was young, but I got Social Security. So I had Social Security help to help me get through college and then doing these loans. My mom was essentially an accountant. We called her a bookkeeper back then for a local railroad affiliated business in Roanoke, which is why there is a Roanoke, because of the railroads. She figured out, you know, if we get these loans and we put them in the bank, we're going to make money. So that's what we did. We paid for college, but I took the loans. But then when I got out of school, I had to start paying back the loans. And they weren't that big. I paid about $90 a month, but I did it for 10 years, Nestor. So when I hear people say athletes aren't getting anything, I sort of get my hackles up a little bit, because this is college athletics. You're supposed to get a college degree. You know, that has a value that our society, and I'm not just getting on college kids and athletes, but these things aren't valued like they once were. And that's on the parents,
it's
too.
It's a place to play, not a place to learn.
Right.
And it's not a place to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. You're thinking, I'm going to play ball. right? Literally.
But look, I worked inside athletic departments for 17 years. So I'm telling you, I've seen the kids that did it right, that knew why they were there and worked hard to get their degrees and took advantage of the
school. And they're making 250 grand a year like your kid, right. and they did something with themselves, right? Besides
right.
Ball.
But now, you know, we got, you know, the NBA is going back to letting kids right out of high school to the NBA, and that's not good for anybody in a long way. I mean, I wish the G League were a better thing for them to go to and get ready if they don't want to put in the time at college. But doesn't that right away tell you a little something about the person that you're going to get on your team? He doesn't want to put in to learn more about life. I remember the horror stories of some, you know, NBA draft picks who, you know, couldn't even dress themselves. All they ate was McDonald's because they really hadn't had any life experiences. And you're putting them on a team with, you know, some grizzled veteran. My joke was always, hey, they can't, no wonder this isn't working out well. You're ruining college basketball because they don't get these kids long enough to build identities and that attachment that we always had. You know, remember how excited we were with Larry Bird, who played for 3 or 4 years, and Magic Johnson, who played for 2 years. We're going to the NBA. We'd seen them. They played in front of us. We knew what they were going to do. I remember David Thompson. We were so excited to see him go to the NBA. He's going to get the dunk. He's going to get the dunk. He never got the dunk in college back then. It was against the rules. You know, it built the product on two levels. It was good for college. We had a much better quality of game. And when they got to the NBA, they were already marketed. We were dying to see those guys go up against the best players. And then it's a point now where I say, you know, hey, no wonder there's team chemistry problems. These guys coming in from college aren't even old enough to go to the strip clubs with their teammates. So how do they build team chemistry? I don't know. It's a whole different thing. I never understood why, you know, looking at the whole thing, I do understand because there's so many guys that hang on to the NBA and are able to switch teams and go move around. But, you know, the Players Association has lobbied so hard to keep it like it is. And I'm thinking, you know, you are costing these older guys jobs. Yeah, they get a lot of money on the front end, but you know, you can just start running down a list of guys who were just such flops in the NBA that didn't make it coming in early. For every great success story of Tracy McGrady or you know, LeBron James or those guys, there's so many more that you just don't even remember their names now.
He writes for PressBox. You can go to PressBox online. Check him out. He is Mike Ashley, Hall of Famer, Radford Hall of Famer. Next time I have you on, I'm wearing my Dundalk High Hall of Fame shirt because it's the only thing I have. I don't have a plaque or anything. I have memories and some pictures, but they did give me an extra large shirt that I love, and I wear it like a Snuggie and with other Hall of Famers, you know. But congratulations, dude. It was a beautiful thing to watch with you, your French family, old times, and giving speeches. And I'm proud of you, even though I don't know much about Radford. But if I ever go, I'm like, Ashley's place. This is Mike Ashley's town.
Yeah, go down the back hall there when you come in the arena now, and I'm up there with all the guys that and girls that really, 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 really deserve it. I latched on. They credit me for starting baseball, but that was only because we joined Division I. So the club team I started got you know, accelerated to Division I when that first year won 4 games. So I actually don't want to take credit for that. But and the other thing about speaking about apparel, I desperately wanted a Century 21 jacket without the patch that I could wear when I spoke, but I could never find one. So if anybody's got one of those, next time I go back, I'd love to have one.
Goodwill will have that. They're my sponsor. We'll get them in here as well. Mike Ashley joining us here from Radford. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.